Pov looks a little bit different.
Yeah. It's I'd say it's Dan in 40 years, but it's actually you. It's actually you in 40 years.
Exactly right. Hopefully I still got
not 40, so
you might have some hair, but
30. How many years? 30.
Maybe I'm losing hair. I'm just protecting it from with my hat. Yeah, I mean, we've been wearing hats around the last few weeks, so
obviously it's not with Jules to start, but obviously it's not Dan. Otherwise, I mean, he's put on some weight, but
some
he hasn't put on that much. Jules, well. He hasn't put on that much weight.
Thanks, boys.
No, Jules, introduce.
So this is my my papa, as we call him, me and my three sisters, and obviously he's been wanting to come on the show for quite a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, you've asked for the last 4 years. Well, come on. And then when we asked you tonight, what was your response?
No, I'm not ready.
No, it's good to have yourself. It's good.
No, thanks for having me.
Are you excited or are you nervous?
A bit of both.
We got Dan and my dad off camera here. My dad's a bitch. He didn't want to come on tonight, so he said he needed a full run sheet. But we got self tonight. It's good. We're just going to ask you a few questions to start. It's a buy round, so we need some content.
Beautiful.
That's the only reason.
Filling the time. Basically, we're using him.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep it clean. I'll be right.
You us keep it clean.
One, two, three, four.
That's our moment. We finally, as a generation, we can hang our hat on a genuine moment.
Honestly, we are a force because of the intensity that we play at is just next level.
We want to be here. We want to impact finals. And it's one thing, obviously, saying it, but we just lived it.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 119 of the Almost Blues Brothers podcast, part of the Blue Abroad Media Network. And proudly powered in 2024 by
Image Online.
I tested you.
Studios, lucky I was listening, huh?
Studios here in Abbotsford. What do they do, Jules?
A lot of different things. Also, they do podcasting. What else do they do? They do video.
Live calling. Yeah, jingles.
Jingles.
Yeah, editing. Yeah,
little jingle bells. Yeah. They do other things as well. They do everything here, don't they?
10 episodes. This year,
that's the part of the app I zone out.
Dan's brought the beers, beautiful. Thank you,
sir.
Not one for Sylph, that's all right. Now, as we said off the top, Vio Cassano, Jules' dad in tonight. So, we're going to kick off first. I'll ask Jules how, just while Sylph settles in, how's your weekend? You're growing grass.
Yeah, I'm still well.
He's trying to grow grass.
I'm trying. No, I've seen some shoots. I mean, my dad came over last night, and he was pretty positive and up and about it, and it's going well. I cut it today, and hopefully over the next week or so, we have some more green shoots. It's going very well.
It sounds like Brendan Bolton green shoots.
Yeah, don't want to go back there.
Give me scars.
I want to go back there.
Silvio, what did you get up to this weekend?
I went over to Julian's house and had a barbecue there, watched the grass grow. Put it together, but it's still a bit wonky.
I heard about that actually. Yeah. Jules's lovely partner, Belen, she got you under the thumb about that.
Happens when you go to IKEA.
Is that right?
Yeah. Always the case.
All right, Sylph, where do we start? Well, Carlton supporter for your whole life.
Pretty much, yeah.
You came across to Australia from Italy when you were how old?
A year old.
1 year.
Yep.
So all you've known is footy your whole life.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What got you into Carlton?
Well, I used to live in Canning Street, not far from Optus Oval, or Princess Park back then. And as a young kid, we used to go there in the park behind that new stand that they built many years ago. I think it was just after the 95 grand final.
Mm-hmm.
We used to stay at their playground there and wait for the footies to come over and then grab a footy and run home. So that was pretty much my introduction to football and Carlton.
The training balls.
Training balls, game balls, yeah, whatever came over. Yeah, we'd just grab them and run home.
How do you reckon he'd go if he grabbed the ball today?
Couldn't bend over that far. You have to hit him lace out.
All right. So, what's your earliest memory as a Carlton supporter?
Oh, God. Look, there's that many, but the one that really sticks to me would be the time when I lost Julian when he was 4 years old.
That's not your earliest memory. That's the one. He's 30 something.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been 1995, 96, or maybe 96, 7.
Right, I could talk about going to Footscray Park and
when you're a kid
and watching Carlton Footscray play there
you go.
Windy Hill, but you know, they were good times too. But you know, back in the day at Princess Park, it was like you'd go there and we'd say, well, we're going to win, but by how much?
Yeah.
You know, well, obviously we don't do that today, but
we're getting there.
Yeah, we are getting there. There's probably some similarities to the side we got on the pitch at the moment to back to the early 90s.
What similarities do you say? Players or playing style?
Oh, I think.
Or coaching.
I think it's just team effort. It's not just one individual player. I see. Obviously you got Paddy Cribbs there that he's the captain, he's the leader. I mean, I go off my head at him sometimes when he tries to do too much.
Sometimes, at least once a game.
Our backline's pretty solid. Our midfield's, going well. We still got Walshy to come back in. Obviously, Weeder, and hopefully he's back against North Melbourne. I love Sauce. So for me, I would love to have Jack back in there now, but obviously he's out for the year. And we lost Doherty obviously as well, but I think we've got the players there to cover him. So
can I just say this is the most measured your dad has ever been talking about Carlton?
Right, he speaks better.
True or not?
He speaks better than me. He might as well come on the pod.
I tell you what,
my job might be gone by the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not hard to replace. all right. So you reeled off some players at the moment. Who's your top three? Like, who are the three that you look at in this squad that are going to take us to a flag? Like, who are the three that need to fire in a final series?
As many as you need to fire in a final series, I think Charlie Kerner is one that has to really.
What do you think about his final series last year?
Oh, pathetic.
Pathetic.
You don't think he contributed to the team in terms of taking an opponent towards him so then other players could. Hit the scoreboard.
I expected him to do a lot better than what he did. Did he kick a goal?
He kicked a goal a game.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
No, one, a goal a game.
Goal a game.
Three. He had three.
Well, I'm sorry, as a full forward, you got to kick at least four or five goals a game.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
Holding him accountable. Yeah. You do
high,
that a lot.
High standards. Yeah. High standards. Do you have a player potentially in the past that you would like to have or a type of player that you'd like to have in this team right now?
Oh,
maybe like a missing link?
That's a good question. Can I guess?
One player or two?
One. Can I guess?
Let Joe go first. Do you have a guess? Then I'll have
both
a guess.
Guess at who you're going to say.
The same time?
Okay. Same time. Yep. 3, 2, 1.
Diesel.
Cooter.
Oh,
Cooter.
It was Cooter. I knew it was Cooter. Come on, man. You grew up in a household that
maybe
had
I'm
Cooter.
Not his son.
You grew up in a household that had Cooter memorabilia all on your walls. You don't say Cooter.
I had the Cooter blue
last year.
Last year for a bit.
Cooter. Yeah. Why?
Might bring it back.
Well, he's a player that can go back, forward, midfield. He can play all over the ground. So you could throw him, in the back line the last 5-10 minutes of a game, which actually, come to think of it, you look at, I say a few times, why isn't Charlie on the wing or whatever?
You do? Or through the midfield, yeah?
Yeah, because I think Charlie's got the athleticism to play like a Cooter, if he could. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Well, I've got a couple in the chat. Michael Harley in the chat has just said, Dan's looking a bit rough.
seen some better days, huh?
And Maz agreed. She said she'd take Cooter and Diesel as well. A bit of love for Silva in the chat too. It's nice to see.
Yeah.
All right, to finish off, Silva, on your little part of this show, and thank you for filling out.
No,
how long do you think we've been speaking for, Silva? Because before the show, you were a bit nervous about how long you've been talking.
Probably 2-3 minutes.
It's been 9 minutes.
Nine minutes, not bad.
Told you it goes quick.
Yeah, it does.
Finish off. Tell us the story about when you lost Jules at Princess Park, and unfortunately found him.
He's 4 years old. I had him on my shoulders. We're playing footscray. We beat footscray obviously at Princess Park off the back in the day, and we laid on the ground after the siren. Players went in. We can kick the kick. So I thrown Julian over, like for frame over. I put him over the fence. I said, wait there. I turn around and get the backpack. I gave him the footy, and then I turn around and grab the backpack, give him the backpack, and he disappeared.
Wrong decision, giving him that footy. Huh?
And I couldn't see him for half an hour. I was looking for him. I ended up going to the police and security guard, and he was down in the rooms with the police. So
wasn't I eating cookies?
Yeah. Are you eating cookies or something? Yeah. Yeah, but all I could remember was he had number four, the number four Kernahan's number on his back.
There you go.
That's all I could remember. I couldn't remember the color of his pants or.
And what was going through your head when you lost him?
Grace is going to kill me. I mean, we'll laugh about it now, but back
then, I lost him. Like, see you later.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
All right, Silv, we appreciate you coming on.
No worries.
Would you come back?
Oh, yeah. If your dad comes on.
Yeah, well, you got to convince him.
You know?
I'll try to. He didn't want it. Without any further ado,
let's get into it.
All right.
He's back.
They're on their way out. Oh, fuck. Silv lost some weight. Got 20 years younger.
Weight Watch within an episode.
20 years younger. Dan, how are you?
Back. Hey, listen, I'll give up my chair for Silv any day.
That was good.
He's
was
good, good time. He loves the club and got a lot of opinions. Yeah. Good old Silv.
Maz, great work, Silv. Silv, they loved you. That's right. Thank you for coming on, Silv. Dan, how was your weekend, Bella, before we get into this?
Good. Good, actually.
Yeah, I ate a lot of food, I heard.
Well, Silv actually gave me a chop out because I don't reckon I could have done the start of the show.
I didn't know what we're going to talk
Did
about.
Did you see the way I walked into the studio today?
Oh, jeez. You're in pieces.
Honestly, I was driving here and thought I was going to throw up.
Tell everyone.
I've eaten that much food. All I've done it this weekend is eat.
That's, so it started Friday night.
Friday night, we had Monster Palmers.
At the Stolberg.
At Stolberg.
Good pub, by the way, in
Very
Preston.
Good. And I had Lauren's half. I'm going to throw up thinking about food, honestly. I can't. Yesterday.
They're the biggest Palmers I've ever seen.
No, a joke. I'm actually thinking I might throw up.
No, massive.
How big?
No bullshit.
No joke. They're like that. Remember the exchange in Ligon Street?
Yeah.
Similar.
Same. Balls on.
Gulping saliva down.
I can see. Balls on. Struggling.
Stock.
Stock, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Friday.
Saturday, Matt, you came over.
Yeah. Lake
barbecue.
Late call up.
Late call up.
Mm.
You were gardening?
Yeah, and then my dad, my Your
parents
over.
Parents
yeah.
over?
Yeah.
Then we had two hamburgers, two monster steaks, and chips, yeah? Mm. Decent feed. Today, for lunch, I had three schnitzels, two sausages, two hamburgers. Then 2 hours later, I had homemade gnocchi and, like, ossobuco. How do you explain that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't, they can research.
That's right. Look it up. Ossobuco. Ossobuco. I'm in a hole. I'm genuinely feeling a bit sick.
Show me up.
On national television.
Yeah, go on.
National television, mate.
No, just sit while you're sitting. Just relax a bit.
You're packing. Genuinely packing.
Feeling it.
When you put down genuinely 6 kilos of food in a weekend, that's where you're at.
Yeah, when your two best mates point out at the Carlton Hall of Fame that you're looking heavy, and one says, "I need to get a picture of."
Hey, you know what? That's a good point. While we're there, how was the Hall of Fame? That was on Monday.
That was great.
We haven't spoken about this.
Yeah, no, it was great. So I'm sponsoring Lemmy. He's actually a great bloke.
Is
really
he?
Good. Yeah, really good. He's actually focused. Like he's on a mission.
He seems like that, doesn't he?
Jules, mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's guided. He's because I was saying like who's sort of taking you under the wing, and he's like H.
Yeah,
H is really taking him under. It makes sense. H and Charlie have really been helping him out. But I had a good time meeting him. The night was actually really good. So at the Crown Palladium, Bev's speech, but like obviously when he was indicted, was just next level.
Indicted.
How do you say it?
Indicted.
It's How your, do you say it?
Your indicted. Mate.
What does it mean?
It's inducted.
Inducted, sorry. Inducted. Inducted. So I'm in a food coma.
Jesus.
What's indicted mean?
Go to court.
Oh, okay. Well, it's inducted, sorry.
Criminal charges.
I can't describe to you.
Indicted.
Listen, I can't describe to you how hard this is.
Tomorrow,
I can see you're struggling.
I'm struggling big
time. Tomorrow, Fev's in all like world of hurt, for sure. Sorts.
Anyway.
He hurt more than Dan.
But his speech was unreal.
Especially well, they released it. They actually released it.
So did you see when he thanked his wife?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, I remember you telling me the day after.
Yeah, it was good. But no, it was a good night. Yeah, they did a really good job. And yeah, obviously Vossie spoke a lot about consistency for this year.
Good.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really like heaps. All the points are around being consistent for the home and away. And then obviously then moving into like the next phase, which is finals, essentially. You know what I mean?
How many were there? Packed it out.
Don't quote me, but yeah, it was packed.
Palladium was full. We went to the Palladium last year for two years ago, for the mid-season dinner.
Yeah.
What was the biggest difference that you saw in the demeanor of the club? Like in terms of the way that Sayers spoke, or the way Boss or Cripper spoke,
they're aligned. So they're all aligned in what they were sort of saying.
There's more of a unity.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And everyone's message and what everyone spoke about, there was unity within all what they had to say. That's probably what I got out of it. Yeah. And that the objective is to win a premiership.
Mm.
They want to see success and they mean it as well. That's what I got out of it. Definitely. Yep.
Good.
Yeah, it's great.
Good luck to Harry Lemmy as well. Now, it's a bye week.
Cut us some slack this week.
Yeah, all right.
Genuinely.
We're going to do our best. I promise.
Thanks, Lou, for 15 minutes. No, I'm just checking the time.
Okay.
We've actually got a couple of special guests joining us tonight to help preview the North game, which we've got Good Friday, which we're going to get into in about 4 or 5 minutes' time. Before I get the guests in, did you watch any footy this weekend?
Yeah, I watched a fair bit, actually.
Actually, not. Let's leave footy for now. F1, which just finished an hour and a half ago. Did you watch
Verstappen?
I watched it. Yeah.
Like, when that happened, I was like, this is on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that?
Well,
and Sainz is a week out from hernia surgery.
Yeah, two. Yeah.
2 weeks.
Two.
Yeah.
No, appendix.
Appendix, sorry. Yeah.
Appendix, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're big F1 fans. We used to go as a kid all the time.
Yeah.
You've been a fan for your whole life. Mm-hmm. I've been a fan for my whole life. Thoughts on the current state of F1?
Boring.
Yeah. I wasn't. Let's just put it this way. I had a bit of a nap.
No, it's boring.
Yeah. It's boring.
To be honest, it is.
To be honest, yeah, I did.
It's boring at the moment.
It's boring,
yeah.
But it's more popular than it's ever been.
Yeah, it actually is.
Why, Joe? What do you want to say?
You should have seen us go about this last night.
Ready? What's this?
I feel like F1 is the sideshow to Drive to Survive at this point.
It's people.
They make decisions in F1 and they form that whole sport around sure that Drive to Survive is a universal success.
So, Jules.
No, I see it. 100% I see
it. It's true. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually stopped watching Drive to Survive.
Same.
I'll stop watching it.
We don't need to when you're watching it.
Yeah, correct. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it for like you said, 3-4 years, Joe. So,
it's not about the sport anymore. It's about the backstage.
Mm.
So Joe
Gunter
and I went.
Gunter Steiner. Oh, everyone loves him. Who cares? Daniel Ricciardo shouldn't be racing. I know this is an F1 show, but this pisses me off. He shouldn't be racing. He's racing for Drive to Survive next season.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm telling you, a bit of drama, a bit of backstage, a bit of this. He'll get sacked halfway through the year. They'll bring another driver.
There'll be controversy. There'll be all we know.
It's all bullshit.
Joe and I went on a. Do you reckon the Drive to Survive fans will know who Massa is?
Yeah, Felipe.
Who Coulthard is?
Tell me about Felipe Massa. Tell me about Giancarlo Fisichella.
Yeah.
Tell me about Jacques Villeneuve. Tell me about Mika Hakkinen.
Yeah.
Who's that?
We went on a genuine roll with all these past, like,
we're talking about early 2090s.
For me, if you love the sport because Drive to Survive, that's fine. They've done a good job. They're losing racing fans, and that's all I'll say.
But they're gaining as well.
They're gaining in different demographics they've never touched before. So I get it.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's just not my cup.
But do you know what I've been doing lately, actually, in terms of F1s? I've been watching like past docos on
like Ayrton Senna.
Senna, Schumacher. Like, that's what I've been doing.
That's all there is.
Yeah,
heaps. But heaps.
So who else?
All right. They've got movies on Lauda and stuff as well.
Let's move on.
Nicky Lauda and like Ferrari and Ford.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yeah.
That's about it.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get into the preview for this North Melbourne game. We have two special guests. Dan, you're not going to be able to see either of them, unfortunately, but we've got Roshan and Josh from the Further North pod that I'm going to bring into the studio. Boys, Josh in the top right, Roshan at the bottom. How are we?
Going good, man. How are you all?
Yeah, good. All right, we've got you. I didn't know if we'd be able to hear, which would have been a disaster. Then I don't know how we're going to talk to you. You can hear them?
Yeah, but can the listeners hear?
The listeners can absolutely hear.
No, but can they see them or they can see us?
No, they can see them as well.
So we're not on camera.
So yet. You know how when we do like StreamYard, three of us, it's the same setup. You're on camera.
It's Pants Off Friday.
You're on camera.
Oh, okay.
What I don't have pants on either, boys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but at least we can't see your bottom half.
Strategic.
Exactly. Boys, thank you for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. No.
Yeah, it's glad to be on.
Now, tell us a little bit about Further North before we get started.
Yeah, I a year ago I had a crazy idea. I thought I'd start a podcast, basically, and turns out that people wanted it sort of as well. Basically started because of Alistair Clarkson hype, our club saved. And little did I know, 2 months after starting it, basically because of that, he'd be out the door and away for a few weeks. But no, it's been great. I love talking about my club. It's been a few bad years, you know, recently, but I think we're on the up. And it's all about sort of being positive while being realistic, getting the fans involved. And I don't know, I really try and get everyone involved with voice messages. And like Rashawn is with Closer to a Flag, and getting those guys involved has been fantastic. So yeah, we've built a really cool community of North Melbourne fans. And yeah, it's been fantastic so far.
Yeah.
Rashawn, a mutual friend of ours, my sister, I'll call her a friend, but put us in touch. How's the podcast been going from your perspective? And because you've done some pretty impressive things lately with your live show as well, I saw. So I actually want to speak about that a little bit. You might be able to give us some tips. They got some players in. We've been doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We can't get the players. No.
I guess Josh can probably speak more to, I guess, getting Charlie in, which was fantastic. But, so I also am one of the co-admins of North Closer to a Flak. We more or less linked up with Josh coming into season 2023. The club had just secured us a bay that we often use on match day for a bit of fun. But we jump in probably more weeks than not. I think one of our admins is on, and yeah, it's been really good. I guess mainly what we want to do is, you know, we all know that North's had some pretty ordinary years. We kind of just wanted to make it like, you know, if you want to go get negativity from North, about North Melbourne, just open up a paper or turn on the telly. But, you know, at least make it fun to go to North games, because we know it's probably more likely than not that we're not going to get the 4 points. But at least just have some fun. So I guess that's what we want to do, just build some optimism and build a bit of, you know, hype around what has been a pretty dull, you know, few years, I guess. And, you know, if we're getting this much sort of traction and we're getting this much sort of attention and I guess positivity now at our lowest, you know, imagine what it's going to be once we start eventually making our way back up. So, yeah.
We can attest to that, to be fair.
We can relate. We can definitely relate, boys. I think we used to go to games thinking about how much we were going to lose at one stage.
Even when we started these podcast shows, like, where were we at?
Yeah, well, almost. Well, not rock bottom, but, I mean, only a couple of years before that, it was very low. Yeah. I mean, we speak about the game against GWS when we – I think it was the last quarter. We were down to GWS down to like 16 players, and you know,
we'll get 30 to 6.
Yeah, and we got thumped. So we can definitely relate. I reckon our times were probably darker than yours, to be honest with you.
Oh, I don't know. It's not a pissing contest, but North are pretty. They've been no offense, boys, but you haven't really. You haven't spent the competition a lot for a few years.
No, but over like what, 10, 20 years, they've probably been better.
They've definitely been better than us.
Yeah.
On that, how much of, I mean, how long ago was it that you were making prelims and semis now? That feels like yesterday, but probably 10 years, right?
Yeah, well, we last made the finals now 8 years ago, so 2016. It was Boomers last year, the controversy behind that. And, we were qualifying for prelims 2014 and 15. And even then, like 2018, 2019, up until maybe the last 2 weeks of the season, we were pushing for finals and maybe just missed out. So, it was, still pretty mid-table sort of stuff, but I guess we were still pushing to an extent. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that, I feel like people on the outside maybe feel like North's been a lot worse for a lot longer. It really has only been, this is probably going into the fifth year of us being really poor. I think 2018 we finished 10th and 19 we finished 12th, and Rashawn's right, we were sort of pushing and then fell off pretty late in those seasons. I think it's just how quick the drop was and then how low the drop was has been pretty significant. So it hasn't quite felt like it's been a decade or anything like that. Definitely, I don't feel like that, but the drop came quick and it came hard.
I guess the interesting thing, I guess, is like people often talk about, you know, we've had 4 years in a row, I think, of bottom two, but I always describe sort of 2021 and 22 as being like probably some of the worst footy, at least in my lifetime, that I've seen. And even though we've only won 3 games in 2023, there were probably a good 5 or 6 where we were in it, probably maybe unlucky to win the Sydney game, which I could go on all day about, but
Is that the interchange infringement? Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I guess we were astronomically bad in 2021 and 2022, and now we're just bad within the scale of a normal team. So we started from a long way back. So that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I mean, like you've had what? I think it was obviously during that period where you had a lot of older players and all sort of retiring, like your Harvey, like your Drew Petries and the like. But now you've got some shining lights sort of coming through in the likes of, you know, Ashiezel, even Larky up forward.
LDU.
Yeah, LDU. You got some incredible young players. I think even you drafted some players as well this year as well who could potentially step up as well.
George Wardlaw is exciting.
Very.
Yeah, he's a gun.
Very.
Yeah, so I reckon you're probably not that far away. I reckon you're a year or two in terms of actually maybe not pushing for finals, but, you know, winning a good block of games, maybe putting together 8 games.
Look at us talking to an opposition, about an opposition club.
Trying to be positive. Well,
might happen this weekend, boys. Who knows?
Yeah. I was going to ask you because this is obviously a Carlton podcast and we don't really care about North. boys, what do you think about the Blues from what you've seen? Our past couple games and even what you've seen the last couple of years in terms of where we've gotten to now, where do you see us or fare us for this year?
I think you've obviously, like last year, sort of got the talent to absolutely challenge. I think for me, Carlton, you know, the hype around it and the whole lids off thing really pushed the team last year. And I think it's really good to see like a different team and a big team coming into that fray. The one thing I would say for Carlton is, I don't ever believe you'll put a team away, and I don't ever believe yet you'll win on the biggest stage. And I think Richmond, I said to Rashaw this on the weekend, that Richmond in that first round was the closest to David Noble football that I've ever seen in my life. When we had Noble as our coach, it was atrocious time. Richmond were awful, and I expected the Blues to win by probably 10 goals, and it was still a struggle. You're getting the results, and I think Carlton are top four and will definitely challenge, but I think they just need to find one more gear and learn how to really put teams away. So I think you're almost there, but I think Carlton also have a lot to prove this year to be that top two team in the comp, because the first half of last year was, you guys might not have forgotten, but a lot of the commentary around it was sort of like, oh yeah, Carlton are fantastic. Like, did you guys watch the first half of the year? But the way you played in the second half was phenomenal. So if you can do that for a full season and really start to put away teams, I believe, but I think you're yet to prove that.
Fair.
Yeah.
It's fair assessment.
I feel like he's on the same train.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep the seats for when we win a flag.
For sure. For sure.
The receipt. Nah, it's a fair comment.
It's fair.
Yeah. I guess I tend to agree with what Josh is saying. I guess Carlton sort of has been a sleeping giant for a little while. And definitely last year was a very quick rise up. Considering, I guess, probably unlucky to miss finals the year before. But given, you know, you went really deep into September from, you know, outside the top four, that's pretty big. I think it's going to be very close. I think Carlton definitely has another preliminary final stint in them. And I do think it's, you know, I'm pretty sure that you'd, you know, make the top four. I guess, yeah, it's just a matter of whether or not you can sort of, find that extra gear and see, you know, in those really crunch games in September, you know, making sure you got the legs and making sure you can sort of keep that composure. Can you take that next step? It'll be really good to see.
It's a fair assessment. It's fair. For anyone that's just joining us live, we are speaking to Josh, top right, and Rashawn. Is it Rashawn or Rashawn?
Rashawn. Some people say Rashawn, but it's, okay. Yeah, it's a...
Rashawn, and then I heard Josh say Rashawn.
It's a differing in pronunciation. That's all good. Yeah.
Anyway, we're joined by Rashawn and Josh from the Further North Pod to preview the game. Now, boys, I'm going to ask Dan and Jules first, then I'll come back to you boys. Have you watched much of North Melbourne this year, firstly?
My first game I watched was this week.
Against Freo?
Yep.
I'll start with you, Dan. Thoughts on how they played against Freo? Let's start there.
Well, they obviously came out the blocks early.
Firing.
I think they were 5 goals up.
Yep.
5 goals plus up. Boys, am I right in saying that?
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Got 32 up, I think, was our biggest
lead.
Yeah,
correct. And then I think North Melbourne did what they've done best lately.
That's harsh.
genuinely, lately, they sort of bottled it. But I think from a Carlton perspective, if we're not careful, It could be an interesting game. Personally, Josh, I think they're in trouble.
Josh, Rashaan, you could see how arrogant we've become after making one final series.
Yeah, look, you had half a good season and got your pants pulled down a prelim and the lid's off already.
I'm trying to keep it civil, lads.
I appreciate it, mate.
Jules,
I do like, I'll be honest with you, I'm a very, very big fan of Nick Larkey. Like,
how can you not be?
Nah, genuinely love him. I actually really do. Yeah. I think he's sensational.
He'd be a good third forward at Carlton.
Yeah, he'd be good at the twos.
He can kick straight.
what do I think? I think North can trouble teams, not just us. They'll trouble any team. I think they move the ball very, very well.
When they're on.
It's just it's back line. They don't really have any tools, do they? So I think with Charlie and Harry, I reckon if we win the ball out of the middle, which I know we didn't do against Richmond, obviously if we can get that game going, plus the transition game going, I think we'll be okay. And we should win probably quite convincingly. It's just whether we are able to do that or not.
Rashaan, we obviously just spoke about with you boys about your recent history, but in terms of this year and what you've seen so far, going into Good Friday, what are you looking forward to, and what do you think, what areas of your game do you think can break open our side in obviously trying to win the game? Because we talk about this as if it's a walkover when it's not. They're an AFL standard side, and they play very good football.
They can trouble us, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think it's one of those things where I always joke if matches were two quarters, we'd probably win quite convincingly. The thing is, what I think, you know, would maybe cause the biggest headaches for opposition teams is we've started to use the corridor a lot more, and we've started to be just a lot more direct with our football rather than just, you know, kicking in hope up the line 60 metres hoping for a big pack mark. So it's something that we're starting to do a little bit better. We need to polish it up a lot more, but it's definitely improved. Now, I think sort of what I previously just mentioned before, what I'm worried about is, we can play two quarters, maybe three of good football, but that's when it really starts to sort of fall apart. Do we have the legs to play that quality of football for four quarters, especially against a team like Carlton? Like Fremantle, you know, probably a bit disappointed there, but Carlton's a side that's genuinely, you know, looking like it's very good. Can we do it for a long time against them? I'm not sure. And then also our back line too. It's one that has been a problem for the last couple of years, and we lack size there. And without Charlie Combin, who's probably going to be our biggest defender, it's going to be quite tough against Curnow and Mackay. So, I think defence and sort of that general match fitness, I think, is going to be the biggest problems for us.
Speaking of defence, Josh, so Toby Pink, and I think is it Kynan Dawson? Have I got that right?
Callum.
Obviously quite new to the system. What have you thought of how they've slotted in so far? Obviously coming up against two of the most formidable key forwards in the comp this coming Friday.
Yeah, well, the one thing that gives me a little bit more confidence is we went into the game last year with Aiden Corr and Aiden Bonner, who's now delisted as our two key backs.
I remember that very, very clearly. That was
I was definitely thinking there might be 20 plus between those two up in your forward line. But I think Callum Dawson's been fantastic. He is someone I was a little bit skeptical on. I didn't think he couldn't do it, but he hadn't proven it at AFL level yet to me. He's definitely been our best defender. He's really strong in the contest and athletic, so he can spoil. Toby Pink had a pretty rough first game, but yesterday took some really good intercepts and was really formidable around the contest. So, look, one thing I think North is maybe... we're not good in this department, but I think people maybe think our backline is worse than it is, and it's not good. But as a system, I think it works okay. The individuals maybe just aren't up to everyone else's standard. So I think they can do an okay job, but I would actually, honestly, and this is going to sound crazy, worry about Mackay more than Curnow. I think only because we don't have someone who can match up physically with him. Curnow is obviously a star and the best forward in the game, but matchup-wise, I would back a Callum Dawson to play better on Curnow than I would like a Pink, who's a little bit bigger, to play on Mackay. I think Mackay could really get off the leash. So those two are forming an okay partnership. It's really interesting to see if Charlie Combin would come back in to physically match Mackay. But look, I could definitely see bags kicked on them, but I think they can do a little bit better than people expect just because there are a couple of no names, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a good assessment. And I don't think it's crazy to say that you'd worry more about Mackay than Kerno, especially at the moment, boys.
Form he's in, nah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a player I want to ask about that you've seen play in your colours for two games that we saw play in our colours for multiple games. Thoughts on Zach Fisher and his impact so far, because he is a player that we discussed on this podcast a lot over the past few years, to varying degrees of positivity and negativity.
So far, I've really liked him. Yesterday against Fremantle, I thought he was fantastic, especially being that added bit of pace off the back line, which, again, moving out of the back, we haven't had much at all. Because again, like I sort of said, our defensive structure has always been kick and hope and get hope someone gets a big pack mark. So to sort of play it out the back the way he does and try and get some handball chains up the middle, he's been really good with that. So of course it's very early days, and I've heard a lot of people in Carlton spheres say that he's been probably hit and miss at best, but I do think it's very much just because, you know, the gap between his best and worst is quite stark. And I think at a club like North Melbourne, where maybe we haven't had as much depth in defence, maybe he stands out a little bit more. Whereas, of course, with Carlton, you know, you've probably got a lot more people that would be able to stand out over him. But for us, he's been great. And, of course, it's only been two games, too early to make, you know, I guess a full judgment. But I like what I'm seeing so far, and I'm hoping he can continue that.
I'll just add on to Rashawn really quickly there. Like, I mirror everything Rashawn said, but I think he was fantastic yesterday when we were getting pumped in the third to have composure kicking out of the back line and hitting a target. We haven't really had a player, Sheasel, obviously, but other than that, having a player that can actually have a little bit of composure was fantastic. And I think we've been missing that. And you're right. The pace and everything on him is something we haven't really had before. So first game, he was okay, but maybe a little bit underwhelming for me. Yesterday, I thought he was one of the better ones on the park for us. And as he gets more comfortable, I think he's going to add a lot of run and composure off that back line.
I definitely agree with that. Like, I watched him and he was pretty clean, especially exiting day 50. The officials are right. It's better than what I heard his opening round
game was. Yeah. He's definitely more comfortable off the half back though.
That was the best that we saw of him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Are you worried, boys, about what he does defensively though?
I'm worried about nearly all of our defenders defensively who aren't above 6 foot. Goda was the guy who did his Achilles last week. Who played on Toby Green, and he did a pretty good job on Toby Green. Now he's gone. There's a guy, Miller Bergman, in the twos, who I would like to be called up. Maybe not because I want to get rid of any of the other guys, but he's probably the only guy defensively who's not a key position defender that I would maybe trust. Jackson Archer can do that, but he's just injured too often and hasn't had the reps. So, yeah, McDonald also scares me a bit, but I thought he was okay yesterday. But we've got a lot of running halfbacks who have to play and can't be dropped because they're all too good, but we don't have enough spots for running halfbacks. So that's definitely a problem at the moment.
Now, with your midfield, because for me, the thing that scares me with North is their midfield, if I'm being honest. Like, they're young, they're brash. Tristan Jerry's shown that he's a more than capable ruckman this year. Like, I think he's been phenomenal the first two rounds.
He's doing good for our super coach.
And he's doing very well.
I've heard so many people say he's in their super coach. That's wild.
Oh, yeah. 400K. Yeah, what a pick.
Steal.
But he really does give, if he's not giving first use to your midfielders, his follow-up ruck work and his first possession rate himself out of the contest, it's through the roof. Mm. Like, his numbers are through the roof to start the season. So if I'm looking at North, their midfield scares me because as good as our midfield is, on paper, we've seen, boys, if they don't show up, that they can get run over very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of our...
It showed against Richmond, didn't it?
A lot of our scoring source and where it all starts from is from that midfield unit. We did say it against Richmond. We struggled out of the middle. But even times last year, it was just like, where are we? We can't get our hands on the ball. So it's going to be very interesting. I don't know. I would dare say that you boys would think the same, no?
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's familiar with the Further North pod knows Josh has some thoughts about Tristan Jerry last year. But I think we were probably a bit worried because we were so reliant on Todd Goldstein, who is by any measure an outstanding ruck. But Jerry, maybe it's the helmet that correlates to success, but he has been genuinely fantastic. Pleasantly surprised, very pleasantly surprised. So, yeah, and I guess our midfield as well. We've got Tom Powell, who was outstanding yesterday, and Luke Davies-Uniac, who probably is maybe a bit hit and miss. And I say that because he is good most games, but his best is not good. His best is, you know, up there with some of the best in the comp. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, can we hit that sort of consistent run? Can we get clearances really well? And now we're starting to add Cameron Zerha into the mix as sort of that old Ben Cunnington style player, you know, sort of tough contested possession type player. So can we sort of get a bit of consistency and a bit of sort of synergy within that midfield group? That only time will really tell, but there is signs of it being quite threatening, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I've made a complete turnaround on Tristan Jerry. Like, it's interesting you touched on that, Rashawn, because last year, if anyone ever listened to the pod, I could not stand that man. And it was the biggest joke of an AFL footballer I've ever seen. And since he slapped that helmet on his head, he has been fantastic. And I've ate my words. He was a joke, but like the dude had butter for hands, awful below his knees. He always win the hitouts, but would never tap it to advantage. I couldn't stand him. I genuinely was calling for Coleman Jones to play in the ruck over him, and I think I was right on that. Even though a lot of people don't agree, but the turnaround that bloke's had has been unbelievable. So if Liquid Nails is listening, sponsor him and glue that thing to his head, because he's just changed his entire game. But yeah, I think with the midfield, Zerha in the midfield has been a barometer for us. Like we threw him in the midfield way too late last game, and it's really good that we're doing that, but we need to do that. It's kind of like a break glass in case of emergency sort of thing, and we need to do that early. Our midfield, if attacking wise, I think is fantastic, but if we can't stop anyone from going the other way very well. So George Wardlaw, I'm looking for a big game from, and if we can get on top and enter the ball in the 50 quickly, I think we can be really damaging. But if we don't, it can also be incredibly damaging for us.
Tend to agree. Before we let you go, predictions, final scores, margins, boys. I'll start with the further north, boys.
I think we'll test Carlton, but I don't know whether we'll have it in us. Of course, the optimist in me thinks there's an upset. I think it's not impossible, but of course, very, very highly unlikely. So I'm probably going to say maybe Carlton by maybe, I was thinking 20, 24 points, round about that. I think, you know, we'll stick again, kind of like last Good Friday, stick with it for a half or three quarters, and then I can see Carlton sort of realistically kicking away maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
I can sort of see a similar thing that happened to us last week, maybe not getting up by that amount of points. I could fully see us being there or thereabouts, even being ahead slightly at halftime. I reckon we could come out of the blocks, but I reckon like a third quarter, like last year, to be honest with you, like we were in the game, it was neck and neck at halftime, and you know, Kerno turns it on a little bit and just have a quarter, a lapse of a quarter. I reckon, yeah, that will probably happen. So look, I think the Blues by like three or four goals, I'll say, but I don't think he ever put it to bed.
Jules?
Yeah, look, I'm much in the same camp as you boys. Maybe just by a little bit more. I reckon we'll win by 30, 35. I reckon it'll be a 5-6 goal game. I just feel like as if we'll be too good on the day. And, I think the U's will be in it. But I reckon third, fourth quarter, yeah, we'll run over the top of you, I reckon.
Yeah, there's a different look about us. Not that we're going to, like, batter them, but I think, say, 28 points, something around that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think between four and five goals, but I don't think we've hit our straps yet. And I think this is the thing, right? Like, it's early in the season. Yeah, well, that's right. But we've seen that we've even had lapses in games to this point, in both games that we've played. We'll talk about the ins and outs.
Our inclusions could be massive to what we can do to teams.
We'll talk about the ins and outs in a couple of minutes. But I just think with the way that we're playing, with what we've shown, we still lapse, and early in the season, anything can happen. If we lapse for too long, they could get over the top of us. I think, like what you said in the Richmond game, sometimes you're just better. I think that's what's just going to get us over the line. Whether it be
can
by
I
one
ask
point,
you guys a quick question if you've got a sec?
Yep.
This is a game, if you guys are really challenging for a premiership, this should be a game you win by 10 goals plus, right? What margin do you sort of want to see to give you guys the confidence? Because we're bottom of the table club, you're top four. you know, talks of grand final this year. What is a pass mark? Because I don't think winning by three goals against us is a pass mark for you guys. Where do you guys sort of sit on that? What do you want to see?
I think it's a fair point. But the way I see it is when Collingwood, you know, last year, I mean, how many teams did they batter? Or even the year prior to that as well? I mean, a lot of their games are won by what? Under a kick?
Yeah, two kicks.
Or even came back towards the end. So I think it's a fair judgment. I think it's different times now.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, boys. I think if I saw a 5-6 goal win and we're consistent over four quarters, I'd be looking and going, Carlton Football Club's going in
the right direction.
Like, we're pushing.
We're going in the right direction.
Because we didn't even see that last year. Really, we didn't see us execute four.
And we still haven't seen it this year.
No.
Yeah.
So if we're playing, say, a team like North Melbourne and we're seeing consistent four quarters of our brand, if you know, 5-6 goal win, then I think that for me
I think
is enough.
I think it's more the performance, not the amount that we actually win by. I think it's the performance that we're sort of looking out for.
I'm also very conscious of the fact that we are still learning how to win. Like, let's not forget how short a time ago it was that we were getting battered. This almost the same playing group week in, week out was getting smashed. So yeah, we turned it on in 2022, faded out. 2023, we obviously made a prelim, but there's still some scarring there and some habits that this group's trying to break that we can still see week in, week out. There's a lot more flashes of brilliance and positive ball movement and all this sort of stuff, but it's still there. So
we're still trying to put it all together.
Absolutely.
I mean, we only played half a season last year.
Yeah.
You know, I think
coming right.
Like Luke Sayers, I think, said at the Hall of Fame, he's looking for consistency in the home and away.
That was her message. Yeah. So if I see that, that's what I said to you. If I see that over four quarters, I'll be knowing that there's growth in the group.
I agree. Does that answer your question, Josh?
Yeah, for sure. No, very professionally answered.
Good.
Well, we're trying to be a really professional podcast.
As you can tell. As you can say. You've recruited the best guests of all time.
On.
Boys, before we let you go, where can we find you?
Further North Podcast, basically everywhere. Further North Pod on Instagram. The podcast's on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Always very active on the socials for me, so I appreciate anyone who jumps on board and gets around it. I'm always looking for voice messages to be sent in, asking the fans questions, and get everyone involved. So jump on and give us a follow.
Absolutely, give them a follow. For the North Pod. Boys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Thank you. Appreciate you. It. Thank you.
Cheers, lads.
Go Blues.
That was good?
No, that was good.
That was really good. I got a lot of insight from North in that, to be honest.
A lot of what that was
a lot more
saying,
than what I thought.
Yeah,
I'd
did they not feel like it was us? Like what they're going through, I can resonate completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really can.
They're fantastic. Great lads too.
Yeah.
Great lads.
Yeah.
All right, so we spoke about the game. What we haven't spoken about are the ins and outs. So,
which I think's huge,
which could be a massive, massive factor in,
especially down back
in this. So, we haven't. This is the fuck. Where do you want to go here?
No, like list.
We
names.
Haven't had.
List
no, but hold on, hold on, hold on.
We don't know. We don't.
We
know.
Haven't received an injury report in 2 weeks.
No.
We're the only club that hasn't released an injury report
but
in 2 weeks.
Things are positive.
No. I understand
I'm hearing
that.
Positive news.
I understand,
from the club.
And I don't. I don't usually.
Jules is the inside man
from one in particular.
I don't usually read into this. They don't update us on news anymore and this and that and the leaks and blah, blah, blah. But on injuries, especially with where we're at, I'd actually really like an update from the club at this point.
Doesn't matter if we keep winning.
Doesn't, but like, fuck, man. We're talking about, all right, Bob, I know.
Walsh.
Anyway, I'm not going to get stuck on that. The potential, Walsh. Yes, the potential inclusions could be, I don't think Walsh is going to be in that. He's not yet.
I think he's close.
I think.
From what I'm hearing.
From Facebook.
Yeah, he gets it. Jules, as in every
he's
single
from
forum
what
you can possibly be in for Carlton.
Wietering, Marchbank, Motlop, Martin.
Huge.
Are the four names that we're looking at going,
I'm hearing,
they could be back.
That's best
I'm
22.
Pretty much locked. Maybe Wietering. Maybe Wietering, not sure. Maybe Martin, not sure. But I'm hearing Motlop and Marchbank lock.
Wietering is a guarantee.
Hey, he was in the background of match sim photos.
Yeah, I know.
No. The bloke's
that's
back.
Enough. That's enough. That's enough.
Hey, there's a reason why they were wanting to get to the bye.
Yeah, of course.
Wieters is back. March is back. Unfortunately, Lewis Young.
Yeah.
Is gonna.
So on this, let me read out five or six names that might potentially need to make way, and then you two can discuss who would make way.
Can so, we the name of the names?
Lewis Young, no, from the round one team.
Okay.
Just
okay.
In case you've forgotten. Lewis Young, and in case anyone listening has forgotten. Lewis Young, Brody Kemp, Ollie Hollins, Fantasia, Owies, Cunners. There's six. So of those six, if Wietering, Marchbank, and Motlop, and Martin were to come in, who dropping?
Fantasia.
Yeah, Fantasia.
So let's talk Young. About let's
let's go back line first.
Let's start with Wietering. Right, so Wietering comes in.
Young, yeah. Wietering.
Easy.
Kemp for Marchbank. If Marchbank comes back,
yes.
In,
you haven't
think.
Been impressed enough by Kemp?
Not against Richmond.
For me, I have been impressed, to be honest with you, particularly ball in hand in terms of going for the kicks, but probably not defensively. And he has had a few mishaps in terms of like that handball and so on.
Yeah, I think the likes of Gov.
I just think with to have maturity back there with a Marchbank, it's going to be a lot more secure and safe. Yeah, that's
well,
just
Kemp hasn't really been playing his role. So you got to think about that.
So
he really hasn't.
Can I?
So who comes
can I
out?
Make a suggestion on this one? I think Ollie Hollins comes out for Marchbank.
You've said this,
and I think it allows Zach Williams to play further up the ground.
But do you want him? But this is the thing. I don't want Zach Williams.
I'll tell you why. We got no Doc. He was supposed to play a wing role.
But that's what Hollins. I understand. The more I think about it, the more I agree
understand.
With the players aren't.
I understand
about. The,
I understand.
I do.
But for
I
me,
do.
I understand. But for me, Ollie might need a spell. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't see it.
From what I've said. If we're looking at this and going, who's our worst, not worst, but who are the four players based on the opening two games that we've seen that would potentially make way on form? I think Kemp is ahead of Ollie for me.
We spoke about how crucial Zach Williams was off halfback in like starting that dynamic ball movement and how him being able to see the play is crucial.
Yeah.
Him being high up the ground. I don't know. I just don't. For me, yeah. Not when you got Ollie Hollins. That I think
push Cottrell to a wing then.
Yeah, my thinking.
Bring Martin and Motlop in. They stay in the forward line.
So you've only got two wingers.
Well,
yeah,
you're only rolling with two wingers.
That's what I'm saying. You need
that's
three.
The problem.
You need minimum three. My thinking behind it is
couldn't play there.
No, not on the wing.
Yeah, my thinking behind it is with the likes of Ollie Hollins. I know. In the last couple of games, he hasn't been good with ball in hand, but. Like Akers in his defensive attributes that he does have, very similar. Akers is just doing more with ball in hand.
His effort second to none. I do agree.
And I just think structurally, I don't think he can take him out. And the reason why I'm saying that as well, how good have we been on transition in terms of scoring?
Yeah, fair.
How have other teams been on transition? And it's because of our wingers
fair enough.
Getting back and doing all the right things.
Yeah. You've convinced me. All right, so Ollie stays in to take
and
Kemp.
It's having the right players to use the ball.
Kemp makes way. You've convinced me.
Yeah.
Right for Marchbank. So Wietering Marchbank. In, Kemp, Young, out. Easy. Martin and Motlop, come in. Who
Fantasia
are you taking out of that
out.
Forward line?
Yeah.
Actually, it's hard because Fantasia's craft
he's been
as
very,
a small.
Without hitting the scoreboard, I will just say he's been one of the smartest footballers.
His IQ is a joke.
For us.
Yeah. His IQ is a joke.
I just think he needs to do it more, though, doesn't he?
Well, hit the scoreboard.
Yeah.
That's a big KPI for these smalls is goals. Mm. Yes?
Yeah,
that's what we need at the end of the day.
Well, we're scoring.
He's
setting up a lot of goals, man.
How many goals has he had in two games?
Have a look, but I would
have a look. How many I'll, goals?
Have a look.
Had,
have a look, but I wouldn't be. Games. I wouldn't be. I mean, I think I'd be happy, not content, but I think a good time in the VFL just to get a good 3-4 bank of games into his belt and trying to hit the scoreboard in there to get a bit of form for
Fantasia.
I think it's going to do a world of good for him. That's what I think. Pezan?
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I think Fantasia for me is probably the obvious. Despite the fact of what his experience can bring in moments, I just don't think it's enough.
He's had two goal assists.
That's what I'm saying.
Both against Brisbane.
In two games.
Like, yeah. I just think
it's still decent. Hey, if you go at an average of one a game, you've got 25 goal assists for the year. I think Grian Myers broke the record last year with like 38. So like. It's very serviceable.
What'd you say? Two a game?
One a game. Yeah, you get 24, 25 out of him for the year if he plays 24, 25 games.
And what do you get out of Motts?
Well,
get goals.
You do get goals out of Motts. So that's a difference.
Like,
yeah. I'm bringing Motts in.
Again, playing devil's advocate. What if Fantasia stays in and it always makes way?
if Fantasia stays.
I wouldn't be surprised either
for Motlop, right?
And then
you look at you got Cunners.
Cunners, no, don't even put his name in there.
I think we've got a number of small forwards.
I know you two are big on Cunners, but there's been a lot of commentary around him potentially making way because he hasn't had the impact that people want him to have.
I've said that too.
Yeah, I actually said that.
I said that last week. Cunners. Yeah, I mean, I can see that happening as well. I think we've got a few players in our forward line that could actually make way. Grimard and Adam Motlop. I reckon we've got three or four. To be honest, the only one that I think secure is a Fogarty.
Yeah, Fogg
doesn't come in. At the moment. He's not a name. So you're saying Martin comes in for an Owies or a Cunners
or a Fantasia.
Or a Fantasia.
And Motlop for one of the other.
Kennedy.
Kennedy stays. I like
Kennedy stays.
Yeah.
I think Kennedy probably has to stay as that third tall pinch hit in the midfield. I think he has to.
But actually, he's been hitting the scoreboard. He's been fine.
He's been fine. Plays hit the scoreboard last game against Richmond. He was good. He did his job.
Mm. Yeah.
So do you drop him based off that?
I think he kicked two against Richmond.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
So
it's selection headaches. Like, this is what you want.
It is.
But you've got important players coming in. Like those Jack four, Martin in particular.
Those
like,
four
you make way.
Those if those four are already they're in. So yes, you've got to make way for him.
I would just say that with a Jack Martin, for example, like I'd be very careful with how much we're blooding him in.
I mean,
because I don't want him in and out.
But you probably have him coming in, though,
but you got to manage him.
No, but I'm saying I think that's how they're going to manage him. Still needs match fitness throughout the year.
You probably have him come in, play three quarters, and then there's obviously going to be one of those smalls that does go out.
Yeah,
is the sub.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going
to
be the case.
But Nort's not a bad game to get him in on.
Durden was
given
the sub.
He could be up by, who knows?
And Durden was the sub last week. Do you keep him a sub or does he make way for whoever you drop?
No, he makes way.
Probably make way. And the thing is,
do you agree with that?
I agree with that. Yeah.
The thing as well with the North game, obviously playing on Friday, then we're going to have what? An 8-day break for a Martin, for a Wiedering.
Yeah.
So it's going to be positive.
The next game
is Adelaide on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that is a positive. It's an 8-day break for those players that do come back.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the preview. To be honest, I think we've covered it.
So our conclusion with the forwards, we didn't have one.
This is the thing. We don't have a conclusion.
It's going to be one of those three that do make
way. Two of the three are going to have to make way.
Sorry, two.
All right, so if I say quickly now, who?
Yeah, I'm probably saying, it's hard. How can you say, he's kicked two? Then how can you say, fucking hell, man. Fantasia and Cunners, probably, to be honest. As much as I don't want to see Cunners go out. This is why I'm saying
and that Holland, burst out
this
of stoppage.
Why, this is why I'm
he's
saying
he's been doing it. You can't
is,
say he hasn't.
This is why I'm saying I think Ollie Hollins needs to make way because of what we're trying to do in the forward half of the ground with Cunners.
I think personally, I reckon it'll be a Cunners and Fantasia because from the players in the forward line that can go pitch in the middle like Cunners, it's going to be a Kennedy.
I think in terms of dynamic,
structurally, it's going to be okay.
Or is it a Fantasia in for say for Mott in for Fantasia Martin's sub?
Nah, I wouldn't be. If Martin's ready, you play him. You don't play him as a sub.
But like, nah, given his history,
not for me.
Really,
he's going to be cold.
No.
He's going to have to warm up. Fuck that. Get him in.
It's a bit different.
Get him in.
He doesn't come on like he's playing local league footy.
Nah, but get him in.
You're not going to be cold, bloke.
Jack Martin's not a sub.
Martin, put your beer down. Come on.
Jack Martin's not a sub. Huh? local league. He's not a sub, Pov. You know that of all people.
I know, obviously. But I'm just saying he's come off what injury?
I think it was a calf.
No, it was knee. Knee. It was knee. Knee. It was definitely knee.
Knee sprain.
Yeah.
He's not a sub. All right. We've actually still got a couple of things to cover that we prepped earlier. So I've titled...
Doppelganger?
No doppelgangers this week. But I titled... If you are watching live, by the way, and you haven't already, subscribe to the Blue Abroad channel. Like the video. There's a few of you watching here that I can see haven't liked the video. That's free.
If you haven't subscribed, subscribe.
If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars. It helps us out tremendously this year, and I can't stress that enough. Please, if you haven't and you're listening on Spotify, 5 stars if you like us,
and let us know. We're filling up time
and
really
follow,
well
and follow us
episode where it's really hard
now. It's been very good. We haven't played a game this week. There's been footy, and I titled this episode, boys, it's called Winning During the Bye.
Boy, did we.
Richmond got spanked today by 5 goals. Essendon got spanked by 5 goals. And the icing on the cake.
We got Brisbane next week. I went into Brisbane.
Saturday. How good, honestly, how fucking good was that?
I went into the gym and some bloke, random, never come up to me before, like the next day. He goes, I go, how are you, mate? How's things? He goes, how good is Collingwood being 3-0?
I'm three. And staring down the barrel of 0-4 going up to the Gabba on Thursday. Oh, my God.
I know.
Honestly, there's been no... I know we talk Carlton, but we talk Collingwood. We talk a few other clubs as well.
We throw a little bit in there.
The fact that we haven't played this week, could have gotten any better.
It's been a good weekend.
Very good. Relaxing. Relaxing weekend.
I'll tell you what. Right, so there's that.
How good is it possible when you're actually winning games?
I know, but
how much easier is it?
Saying, like, not for anything, but it would have been even sweeter if they didn't win a flag last year.
Oh.
Imagine they didn't win the flag and they had this start.
Oh, if Sidebottom didn't fucking pull a 65-meter kick out of his ass, they wouldn't have. That's true. That's true.
But you know what I mean?
Right, so that was that. That was a bit of fun.
Why'd you have to bring that up? That
well, bit... it would have made it sweeter.
Bit of fun. And hopefully they keep losing because it's not just us that love it. The whole football community loves it. Anyone I speak to that's not a Collingwood supporter, they are.
Love it. Yeah.
And you know what? Fuck you all. At the end of the day,
Joe's unleashing they hammered us, bit of confidence.
They hammered us. They hammered every single fan base for 6 months. We had to cop it. This is what you get. It's called karma. And there's no doubt they'll bounce back. I know they're going to bounce back. They'll win games. And there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to find some form just in time for round eight, and they're going to bring it to us. But at the end of the day, I'm just going
to
enjoy this.
But, hey, listening to SEN, isn't there a change? Oh,
They are ropeable.
We want Sidebottom's head, like, in terms of, is he done?
Pendles
they're questioning. It's just
crazy. It's like, not even, 5 months, 6 months?
Yep.
7 months, maybe.
Ropeable.
Crazy.
Now, they should just be sitting there calm. Just like, do you know what I mean?
They just want a flag.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like,
now, another one of our arch enemies, they got done by 5 goals as well in the longest game of football that we have ever watched.
This is an absolute joke. Jules, I don't know forever. Why. It felt like it went for 7 hours.
I heard about it. I didn't watch it because I'm not going to waste my time.
We were sitting there going, how is it only halftime? I feel like I've been sitting here for days.
Like, we had a multi going and like Errol Gould or someone, say Heaney, for example, was on 25 touches. And Joe and I are looking at it going, they're still halfway through the third and a full fourth quarter to go.
Yeah.
Well, like, what's going on here?
I mean, I got a group chat with like a few ex-colleagues of mine, and they basically said, isn't this game embarrassing? That's what they said.
It was, to be fair, it was actually not a bad game of football.
It wasn't bad.
Was there a few like controversial umpiring?
The hit.
I think we'll show it, but I think this hit actually contributed to the game being so
a
long.
Bit more feisty.
Being so long because how long it took to get Cunningham off the ground. Anyway, let's have a look.
It doesn't change that it felt like 8 hours.
Joe, the angst to which you refer already came early. Peter Wright's a hit on Harry Cunningham. In the first couple of minutes, we're going to take a couple of looks at this. We'll have a couple of look at the angles on it. I'm sympathetic to a point to what Wright has done. I know we've all got different views on this. It caused a stir. We'll have a look at the follow-up to it in a moment with what it did by way of the teams coming together. But in real motion, he was definitely going for the ball. In slow motion, you can see that he does brace for contact. And Cunningham was subbed out of the game with a concussion, which will be part of it. And he will have a match review office case to deal with. I've got no doubt.
Talk to your dad. Oh, actually, what? Sorry. I needed to talk to your dad about something.
You can.
So Peter Wright was today, I believe I read that it was considered careless, high contact, severe impact, which has 4 weeks written all over it, four plus.
Minimum four.
How did you say it?
Disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I think these days, boys, you genuinely got to, like, get the ball. Like, you got to go for the ball.
When I saw him brace, for me, it was
done. Later. Yeah, it was done.
Simple.
Yeah, unfortunately. Just the way it is, isn't it?
Dog act.
By the way that they're adjudicating this, those three careless, high contact, severe impact, I honestly think it's got 4 or 5 weeks written all over it.
For sure. Minimum four.
And they can't argue he was going for it was a football act. Like you said before the podcast, if he had a contested fist,
different, yeah.
Got his fist to the ball, tried to mark it, kept his eyes on the footy, no problem. He took his eyes off the ball, turned, brace for impact, shoulder straight to the head.
He did. I mean,
you'll kill a bloke doing that.
He did turn.
Oh,
he did turn.
Disgusting.
He did turn late.
He's still bracing, Paisan.
But he's still bracing.
Yeah,
correct.
It's the bracing action.
I mean, that's just the way it's adjudicated these days.
Paddy Cripps won a Brownlow doing that. Jules,
the trophy cabinet.
Jules, you pointed this one out that you wanted to discuss.
Really gave it to us. Essendon, they obviously come out. Brad Scott come out and said they want to have that Essendon edge, and we knew they were going to come out. Obviously, Peter Wright took it a bit too far, but that's when we move on from it. And they were still getting into us. We knew we can play four-quarter footy now. We come in at half-time. They were beating us in the contested ball. And we know we're really good at scoring, but we need to win that contested ball and scram the scramble. And then we did that in the third quarter, which allowed us to stop them from scoring and us score again.
Tom, you said at half-time that you felt like Essendon maybe were playing off the ball a little bit and that they had taken it a bit outside the rules. Do you feel like that was the case now that you've had a chance to sort of settle down after the game?
Yeah, that's in the heat of the moment. But, yeah, I don't know. We all love the footy, love being tough, but you've got to do it four quarters.
Yep, you do. Jules.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. Papley's the kind of player you'd love to have him in your team.
He's a pest. We spoke about this yesterday.
He's a pest.
True. We spoke about
him. You want him.
Yeah.
You want him in your team.
Yeah.
Should have had
he's
him.
Finding a lot of footy now as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot more.
I think he's four, didn't he? Kick four?
Yeah, but he was everywhere.
Yeah.
He was everywhere. He's that half-forward player we need.
Yeah.
Could have had him. I'll tell you now, if we had nailed that,
should have gone harder.
We would have won the flag last year.
But what do you think about the Essendon game anyway, an Essendon-Sydney game? Do you reckon Essendon sort of played out of the boundaries of the game?
Listen, before the game, Brad Scott spoke about with Essendon that he wanted them to be a bit more tough, a bit more physical. Were they physical? Yeah.
It was fine.
There were scraps. They were scrapping. They were going in for each other.
It was
a
good game of football. I think
they didn't win the game at the end of the day.
No, but it was a good game. It was
you can be as physical as you want. You don't really make a statement when you lose by five goals and you fade out the way.
No.
So I understand his commentary, to be honest.
Okay. Fair call.
All right. To finish.
Keep calm. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10.
Not.
Emails.
Did she send off an email?
He's on emails.
Mid.
Are we done?
I'm a busy boy.
Are we done? Segment? Are we done, Jules?
Sorry?
Are you still on the clock?
Yeah, the clock's still running. We're 170.
He's got the next job to attend to. He's going to mow lawns.
He's dead.
Sorry about Jim mowing.
This next... Jules is mowing.
Maybe more.
All right. So, not happy. My missus.
Jesus.
I thought you were going to say your stomach.
Yeah, not that either. No. I was going to throw in the... I was going to do the acai bowl at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, I was there for that.
I was fuming. The Lauren, obviously pregnant. Great woman. But when you're asking me at 11... Why are you laughing like that?
Because she had cravings, bloke. What do you want from her?
She had genuine cravings. Now I get it. But you got to tell me that they're... So... Joe was there on the couch. Dan, I'd really love an acai bowl.
Yeah. She's got craving.
Yeah. At 11 o'clock at night.
Where are you going to locate that?
Can't. I need you to go and get one.
No, you can. You know you can. I drove past two of them on the way home and they were pumping.
It's not your segment.
I'm standing up for Lauren.
Can you
what,
get one?
What? One second.
Do you agree with me, though?
What? I do agree with you. But what acai joint is open at 11 o'clock at night?
There's drive-through acai joints down the north.
There's not.
Seen it last night. And pumping.
That's why I'm
living. Cars everywhere.
That's why I live in the west.
Yeah.
Yep. So you just got to tell me that there isn't one item in my pantry or fridge that could satisfy the craving, but I had to get an acai bowl.
Did you go? Did you go?
No.
Oh.
What you wanted me to?
And I wanted
not
you
out
to.
Of principle.
I was ready to go for it. To be
have
fair.
Options.
Oh.
That's not even that. Dan,
all right.
Not happy Dan.
Okay,
not happy at her for that, but she can't. Sort of can't help it, eh?
No, she can't.
I think she's listening. She's gonna kill me. All right. I was going to. I'm not, I can't call out the company, can I? No. I was going to purchase an item.
What was the item? What was it?
Like footwear.
What was the footwear?
Like anyway, I've gone into this store.
Are we going to get a sponsorship from this footwear company?
Potentially, I could.
Oh, all right, go. Yeah.
Go on. So I've gone to get the footwear, and I've gone in because I had to go to another client, so I had to quickly buy it, get out, and I knew what I needed. Went there, the shop assistant. Is that their names?
Yeah.
Shop assistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, hey, mate, can I probably persuade you in getting this instead? I go, oh, bloke, sounds unreal. Yeah, all right, I'll give it a go. Said, oh, can I try on this size 11 and a half?
Fuck, big feet.
Big feet. Big feet. Anyway.
Slippers.
I was sort of sweating a bit because normally I just buy it and go. I don't even try the size on. But I thought for these ones here, different shoe, maybe try it on.
Yeah.
Fair enough, they were busy, all right? But if you're serving me, I'm priority. Not trying to be cocky.
Oh, okay,
but,
sorry.
All right, if you're serving a person,
I've got,
you go and get the shoe.
I've got, if you heard a personal training attire on,
yeah, you serve me. Go on.
Anyway, you go get the shoe and come to me because you've just engaged with me in a sense, all right? Nah. Speaks to one person, speaks to another person, speaks to another person, helps them. And I'm waiting there thinking, I just want to try on these shoes. So it was a fair bit of time. I'm a pretty patient person. It was at least 20 minutes.
He's patient, but no way. Yeah, okay, 20 minutes.
This is 20 minutes. I can't even say
my segment. But if you say dumb shit, we're going to call you out on it. Go.
I waited 10
minutes. No, go on.
So I went up to the bloke and said, hey, mate, I'll just grab them off you and try them on. And
he didn't.
Jules.
No chance.
Wait, buddy.
Buddy Joe.
Buddy.
For real?
For real.
Have you added mayo?
No mayo. Wait, buddy. Not happy.
Nah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So what happened after that?
Did you end up buying the shoes?
What happened after that?
I stood there and went,
give me the shoes.
Got them.
Did you buy them?
Yeah.
So you rewarded him for his
The ASICs.
You saw him. No, hey, dickhead.
That's only ASICs. What, athlete's foot?
Yeah.
What else?
It was athlete's foot, wasn't it? It was athlete's foot.
Don't be a dickhead.
It's only like two places.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Surely we're uploading this segment.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're tagging them.
I'm going to tag athlete's foot. Thanks for the good customer service.
What number was this in?
That has to be at Northland.
Yeah, I got him.
Oh, that's killer. That is killer.
Don't tell me, buddy. Don't say, buddy.
Oh, shit. All right. That's funny. That's it, boys. We're done. I don't know how long is it for the year, mate. Is it? I don't know how we've done an hour 15 today, but we've done very well, considering we haven't played footy this week. If you're watching, just again, like, subscribe to Blue Abroad. If you're listening on Spotify, 5 stars and give us a follow. And boys, until next week,
come a bag it.